Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Talk too much. You go for my integrity and call me inauthentic and call me a bully, which you've apologized for. So we're going to put that aside, and we're really going to put it aside. Great. I'm not one to bring it back up again.
Really?
Right?
That's nice.
Rinna, stop.
Great.
We'll get to it. Like, hold on, girl.
Garcelle,
hold on.
I'll do whatever I want. Don't you tell me to do anything. Okay? Thanks.
I can say anything I want
to
say.
You go. Well, can I?
So can all of us.
We all can.
Okay.
Don't you tell me to do a thing.
So can all of us. So can we all. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from part one of the four-part Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. You guys, I thought it was thrilling. I thought it was excellent.
I have the chills.
I just watching it. I know this part. I mean, we didn't get into too much of the juicy details, and I hate that they left us on that cliffhanger where Andy's like, asked Erika Jane something about Tommy Two Tones, and then asked if she was faithful, and then she didn't even answer, and they said, coming up next week. And I thought, really? You guys, I was so fucking pissed. I was so mad. But we're going to talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. We're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules. There was a James Raquel proposal at Rachella, or whatever they were calling it. So we're gonna mention it all, as they say. I want to start with Beverly Hills. Obviously, that's what we're all talking about, right? The buzz is in Beverly Hills, and I think we're all on the edge of our seats waiting for this reunion. And they did the reunion in what looks like Kathy's backyard, although they were playing fast and loose with the rules of design, because I don't know that it looked exactly like, I felt like they were sort of trying to bamboozle Kathy in a way. Did you guys feel that way too? Because to me, when they showed the side-by-side, or when they showed like the inspiration for the set, I was like, it doesn't look much like Kathy's backyard. Like, I don't even live there. Maybe if you did live there, it'd look more like your backyard or the front yard. I guess, was it the backyard? Front yard? I don't know, but I didn't think it looked like so much like Kathy's house that she'd walk onto set and all of a sudden feel like she was walking into the Twilight Zone or something. And they were all like, ooh, we can't wait till Kathy walks out here. What do you think Kathy's going to say when she walks out on the set? And it was like, I don't know. What do you think she's going to say? It doesn't even look like anything. But I appreciate it. I appreciate that it was an homage to our dear Kathy Hilton, who we, of course, love. She was everything to me. And I was worried that they weren't going to have Kathy out for the whole reunion, but it looks like she came in about, I don't know, what was it, halfway or something of this episode. Hopefully she's on the rest of them, because I don't want to say goodbye to our dear Kathy. Because I love her. We also got a Halloween commercial in the middle of the reunion. When I saw that, I said to myself, you guys know what I said. You know what I'm about to say. You know what I said when I saw that random Michael Myers appearance in the middle of the Real Housewives Beverly Hills reunion? I said, what the fuck? No, I don't know exactly. That must have been paid, right? Like, we know the Halloween Kills is being produced by Universal, which is NBC Universal. We know they're all in cahoots with each other, which is a great thing for the Peacock, for Kyle, the Splits Richards, for all of them, because it's all under one umbrella. But I wonder about the mechanics of that, because they said Kathy, like, surprised Kyle with the Michael Myers appearance. And I don't know that that was really Kathy. I sort of feel like that was producers being like, oh, we got to put in a Halloween commercial in the middle of this, because Halloween reaches Peacock on this Friday. It's also in theaters. And you guys, I saw it. I don't know if you guys listened to my interview with Kyle the Splits Richards, but I thought it was a great chat. And honestly, honest to hand to God, Kyle, without giving any spoilers away, was my favorite part of the whole movie. So there you go. I know the Kyle haters aren't going to want to hear that, but you guys will see the movie and see for yourselves. And the reviews aren't great, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. By the way, this is not paid. In the same way that Michael Myers appeared in the reunion, this promo is not paid for. I'm just telling you my thoughts. But I couldn't believe it, because we've seen in the history of Housewives, of course, remember when I think Shannon Storm's Bedore or someone did like a Terminator trailer where they like inserted Shannon into the Terminator movie? That was one of the weirdest ones. And then, of course, we had on The Real Housewives of New York when there was a commercial in the middle of the episode where Dorinda Richard's A Balloon Medley and Sonia Tremont Morgan, they went to see the Anne Hathaway movie with Rebel Wilson, and then suddenly they decided to do a whole scene where they give the review. So this is not new. Of course, there's different levels of this inserted promotion, and they got to do what they got to do, right, to keep the lights on over there. They got to do the product placement. We all get that. That's part of the thing. You know, sometimes on this show, you guys reach out to me and say, you got commercials. And it's like, yeah, no shit, because we got to keep the lights on in my house. So we understand that this is how the business works. They can't give us all this entertainment and then not have any ads, right? That's the thing. So I get it. But obviously there's levels. So sometimes we have the commercials that are in actual commercial land. And then other times we just have Michael Myers appearing in the middle of the Real Houses Beverly Hills reunion. And that's what this was. And to be honest, I didn't not like it. I liked it. It was weird and inappropriate. And I sort of loved that about it. I wish though, I know Michael Myers doesn't really talk in those movies, but I wish he would have just given us like a goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
You know, like I was hoping Michael Myers or Jamie Lee Curtis or Judy Greer. Ooh, speaking of Judy Greer, who I love, you know, I love me some Judy Greer. But a lot of you had pointed out Kyle the Splits Richards in her reunion look. She's got that haircut with like kind of different like beaded stuff in it. A lot of you pointed out that it looks like Jennifer Garner in the movie 13 Going on 30 when she's playing a 13-year-old who wakes up and is a 30-year-old. A classic cinema, if you ask me. One of the greatest movies of all time. I love it. Mark Ruffalo has never been hotter, except for all the other movies he's done, because he's a hot man. But that haircut that Kyle the Splits Richards got on the reunion looks just like Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30. And that leads me to believe, I'm going to choose to believe that Kyle and Judy Greer on the set of Halloween Kills were watching 13 Going on 30. And at one point, I think they were talking about the haircut, and then Kyle was like, I'm going to do that for the reunion. And Judy was like, yeah, do it. And I think that's how the haircut came about. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but that's what I'm choosing to believe happened, because that hair, there's no other reason for it. And honestly, as soon as people reached out to me, I think it was after last week's show, and showed me the side by side of Jennifer Garner and Kyle the Splits, and I saw the side by side and it all clicked for me. And then suddenly I love the haircut. So I think it was actually the right choice. People were hating on the haircut. I myself was hating on the haircut. And last week and the week before, whatever. Now I love it. So that also goes to show you, you know, we change in an instant on these people. Sometimes I love them. Sometimes I hate them. Sometimes next week I might feel completely different. As it stands, though, this week I was getting really frustrated with Dorit, who I feel like Dorit is making a mountain out of a molehill. Or what did Ramona say? A mountain out of a hole mill or whatever she said. I sort of felt like that's what Dorit's doing with the Garcelle thing. But again, I also want Garcelle to just say, shut the fuck up. And I feel like Garcelle is so restrained and classier than that, and I applaud her for it. But Dorit is just dragging this thing out. And then, of course, it's taking her forever to get to the point. I'm so excited for Andy to yawn in the middle of her sentence, because it really does take her a while to get something out. Really does. So let's start from the beginning, you guys. It opens this whole thing with that trailer that we've seen, that brilliant, beautiful Bravo trailer, which I think is, again, one of the greatest reunion trailers, one of the greatest trailers I think Bravo's ever done in their history. Now, in that trailer, I know we discussed, there's a sit-down between Rinna and Erica. And after seeing part one of the reunion, I don't understand the logistics of it, because it said like 2 weeks before the reunion. Well, I didn't see that scene play out. Was that just for the trailer? Like Rinna's hair is kind of off. Her hair normally looks so perfect. It looks so good all the time. And that one little scene, that pickup scene, and Erica's contouring, Bamboozle Jane looks like she needs someone to come in and contour the face. So I don't really quite understand the logistics of why they filmed that, when they filmed that, and then are we ever going to see more of it, or is that the end of that one little scene? Because it didn't appear in the season, it just appeared in this trailer, so I don't get it. I don't get it, but Erica's like, there's going to be winners and losers, and then Rinna's like, that's life, baby! And they're sort of narrating, this wonderful trailer, and I love it. I love it. And then all the women, they get to this reunion. Kath gets there at 11. All the other women have to be there early. And it's 11 years with Kyle and Andy together. And those two have a good rapport. I love their rapport together. I love that Kyle, her whole thing, when she sits down for reunion stage, she knows she's just got to give a lot of looks. She's got to give a lot of looks to the camera. She gives them all sorts of reaction shots to choose from. That's a pro. Sometimes I don't even think she's reacting to what is actually going on the stage. I think Kyle in her head is like, oh, I got to give him surprised. I got to give him shocked. I got to give him angry. Got to give him sad. And so while the other women are talking, I think she just looks right into the camera, sees whatever the light is on, what camera has the light on, and she just gives them a reaction. I don't even think she's paying a lick of attention to what else is going on around her. She's giving them a look so that they can cut to her. And then she does that all the time. She looks at Andy, like she bites her nails and looks at Andy. And I love when they do that. They've been doing it for 11 years and I don't get tired of it. Every single time, those two have a good rapport and I'm into it. I can't believe she's been with us 11 years. And you guys, when I interviewed her, those of you who listened to the interview, I asked her about Bamboozle Jane and she just kept on rolling with the question. I said, what do you think about Bamboozle Jane doing this? She didn't even question Bamboozle Jane. The nickname Bamboozle Jane did not even question. I said, what do you think of Bamboozle Jane doing this? And she just answered it correctly. And I even called her Kyle the Splits Richards and she went ahead with it. And so I like a housewife that's got a little sense of humor about things and is not taking it too seriously. Although we should take the situation with, you know, Tommy Two Tones and Bamboozle Jane seriously. I'm not saying that. Okay. Don't get it twisted. Okay. So then Andy goes to everyone's trailer. You know, that's a housewife's staple. And then they all get to the stage. Rinna needs hand makeup.
I need hand makeup.
And then, I knew they did leg makeup, but I never heard of hand makeup. I don't know if you guys have seen Paris Hilton, who's of course connected to the Real Housewives universe via her mother Kathy and her aunts. She has been wearing a lot of the gloves lately. And now I'm noticing Kim Kardashian is wearing the full bodysuit that covers the hands. It's like we're all covering the hands now. It's like 2021 going into 2022. Are we done with hands? Like, are we covered? Now we got makeup on the hands. We got gloves on. We got, like, what's next? Are we done with hands? Anyway, Rinna asks Andy, like, where am I supposed to sit? And he's like, seat yourselves. And that made me laugh. That really made me laugh. But then the couches are back. So lately on the reunions, we've had all the women sitting like 25 feet apart. And now we got them all sitting on this couch. And it looks very uncomfortable to me. But I think that's purposeful. And I applaud them for doing that because I think they keep them in a bit of an uncomfortable position. Because I have a problem actually with those big ass chairs like they were doing previously for these COVID reunions. Because I think people get too comfortable in them, which I would too. I would sink into the chair or sink into the couch. You know, you have the whole thing to yourself. I'd sink back into it. I'd relax. But now these producers, they're so smart. They know everything. They know it all. So they have them all on these couches where they got to sit side by side so fucking close to each other. And they can't sit back. They can't even lean back because there's not enough room for them to lean back. So they got to be on their toes. And that's smart. That's good producing. It's good producing. So then they talk about getting some of the stuff for the clubhouse. So somebody suggests Crystal's pants for the clubhouse. And then Kyle suggests Sutton's boot. And Kyle, you need to cool it. We all need to cool it, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure on Everything Iconic, I've gotten behind this microphone and said, we should put that in the clubhouse. We should put that in the clubhouse. And we need to be more selective. We need to just think about it. Because Andy's clubhouse, to me, that needs to be the best of the best. And it has been up until now. But, you know, I don't want just anything sitting alongside Tamara Barney's old breast. You know, there's a hierarchy to these things. And so we can't just throw anything in there willy-nilly. Okay? We got to be selective. Now, Crystal's leather pants, maybe. I'm not sure, though. I don't think we need the leather pants. I mean, that is an exclusive clubhouse of goods. And I don't just want anything in there. I want the good goods. I want something special next to Tamara's tit. Okay? That's somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it. They're just throwing everything in there and we can't have it. So we talk about their looks. Dorit's wearing her ready to wear. She says it's ready to wear. Rinna's wearing a look she calls Priscilla. Actually, that was Garcelle's name. And then Erica says that's what we're all interested in, right? The Erica Jane of it all. We all want to know what she's going to say, what she's going to answer. She says she's happy to address things to the viewer, but she can't answer everything. And then she says she has empathy and sympathy for victims. And she wants people to hear that. And that was obviously a pre-written line to her by her lawyers to say. But I was glad that she finally said it. And then she says she was disappointed, angry, and sad watching the other women comment all that was going on. And look, I'm very thrilled that Erica's going to answer all this stuff. And I know we're going to get to the social media of it all, but that to me, I think is the thing going into the reunion that I'm most compelled about. That's what I want to know the most about is like, how she can go and act so cold and icy and everything on social media. And she's been so braggadocious about this being a four-part reunion because of her and like all this stuff. And so I just want to see if she has any remorse in terms of like the social media presence, but I don't think she does because she said things after this reunion was filmed. And so, yes, I'm glad she has empathy and sympathy for these victims. But if she really did have empathy and sympathy for these victims, would she be crying and comparing herself to Christ? Because I don't know if you guys have seen. That's kind of the things that's going on. So I don't know. She's, of course, got to answer to her crimes, if there were any. But I also want her to answer to the social media presence. And I want to know. I want to know where we all go from here. So we're going to get answers, maybe. We'll see, TBD. But let's see. Then we talk about how, oh, the women reaching out to lawyers. So Crystal talked to an attorney. She says, look, I'm new to the show. I talked to a bunch of attorneys. Good for her. And then Sutton says she consulted not her lawyer, but another lawyer. And then Kyle says she checked in with Faye's husband. And again, I say we need to bring Faye back. I bet Faye would have some good opinions on this stuff. And I actually believe... I could be wrong. I could be reading this whole thing wrong. But I think Faye would come in and be against Erica Jane. I think Faye, and I feel like that'd be a good, I just feel like that'd be a good balance. Because right now, sometimes it feels like they're all upper ass, you know, except for Sutton and Garcelle a bit. And so it might be a good balance. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've checked in with Faye and Faye would be totally team Erica. I don't know. But the lawyers did advise Erica to leave the show, but she said no because she's innocent. She's not going to leave. She's not going to run. She's not going to give up her contract. She said she's going to show up. That's what she does. And it's revealed she has not been charged with a crime, at least in the terms of filming this reunion. I don't know what's happened since. Oh, did you love how they brought up the LA Times article? And then even Kyle again said something about how it was too long to read. Oh, when they were talking about the lawyers, Kyle's like, yeah, I had to ask for advice because that article was just too long. It's just too long, Andy. I had to get my lawyer because that article was too long. I mean, these women, you guys, and they all have books. Kyle's got a book out, okay? I just need us to all realize how insane it is that authors can't read an article, okay? It's really frustrating as an author myself to see these women who have really high selling books, and God bless, good for them. But when they present themselves as authors and then we see them on screen another season saying that they can't read a 3-page article, or the fuck it wasn't LA Times. It's like, ladies, come on, ladies. Am I right? We need them to read the article. It's not too long. And it seemed like an important article that you could have all read. And by the way, if you have a book out, and Garcelle just announced her memoir. And so I'm hopeful that going forward, Garcelle can say, yeah, I read the article because I'm an author. You know, I think those two should go hand in hand. You should be at least able to read a 5-page article or upwards of 10 pages even. And also if you're going to write a book, right? Like those two things should be one and the same, I believe, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Now then we have the Sutton package. She was very hormonal. She had the face roller and all that. And then Rinna, she shaded Sutton's business. So then we get into that stuff. So Rinna, when she was on Watch What Happens Live, dressed like the Riddler, she shaded Sutton's business, said it wasn't a business. And Sutton's like, yeah, it was a business. That's my business. It's my store, Sutton. And then the whole time this is going on, Erica's making stank faces at Sutton. So, you know, Erica Jane is like ready to pounce on Sutton. And I'm excited to see that whole thing go down, but we don't really get into it yet. Now, we also hear that Sutton almost burned down Kyle's goddamn house. So, you know, she was staying in that house. She lit a fire, almost burned down the whole goddamn house. And so that was an interesting development. And Kyle kind of said it like, oh, I know it was an accident, like, but, you know, you need to pay for it or whatever. And it was clear to me that it was like some tension under there, but they were all laughing about it. But I think they were upset about it. But maybe I'm wrong. Then we cut to Andy asking Erica if she's dating. So they're really sprinkling through Erica's stuff. I think this was also very well produced because they knew they couldn't leave all the Erica stuff until just one part of the reunion. So they really are doing this thing where they're sprinkling it through, because now we have Andy asking Erica if she's dating. She says, yeah, I'm looking for some big dick and some hot sex. Who among us? Who among us, ladies, am I right? I mean, that's the goal, the whole thing. That's the life goal for all of us. So we can't really fault Erica. Plenty of things to fault her for, but looking for big dick and hot sex isn't one of them. Ladies, am I right? We just can't fault her for that. I'm sorry. Sutton, meanwhile, is single too. Now, her boyfriend broke up with her on Valentine's weekend. And the reason was he just can't. He just can't. And I don't like that. I don't know who this man is. I know we've seen him a time or two in the Real House of Beverly Hills. But if he's listening to this podcast, which I'm sure he's not, I would just like to say that's inappropriate to break up with someone on Valentine's Day. Do it the weekend before, the week after, something. You don't do it on Valentine's weekend, mister. I can't even remember your name, but mister, you better stop. You better stop. Going forward, if you're in another relationship, you need to cool it. You need to pick a weekend before, after a holiday. Because you just don't do, I mean, Valentine's Day weekend, Sutton, I'm sure she needed an extra face roller for that weekend. Because I would be nuts. If Matt broke up with me on Valentine's weekend, I'd get fucking nuts. I'd have all the face rollers out the wazoo on my face, rolling up my face. Because it would be too much stress for me to deal with on a romantic holiday weekend. Any holiday would be bad, but I feel like Valentine's Day, I'd be really bad on Christmas. New Year's Eve would be a terrible, don't break up with me on New Year's Eve. Even at Matt's, doesn't, my boyfriend doesn't listen to this podcast, but if he is by some chance, just say goodbye to me.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Danny, on a non-holiday, or at least pick like, I don't know, July 4th, Arbor Day, one of those ones. Don't pick New Year's Eve or one of those date holidays, because I will be a fucking mess. And I'm happy if you want to do it the weekend before, that's great. Fine. Just don't do it on the week of, because it's not okay. It's not okay with me. Then we have Garcelle's package. Now, this is when Dorit keeps saying that Garcelle can be passively provocative, which is just like a term she looked up or something. It reminds me of Kelly Bensimone saying systematic bullying in the Real Housewives of New York reunion. It's like she just keeps saying, well, she was passively provocative. And I'm like, nah, I've never heard of that before, Dorit. And she just keeps saying it. She says she does it to be relevant. And then Garcelle, she wants apology from Dorit for saying the word bully. Now, this word bully, you guys, we need to talk about this for at least, I don't know, 75 minutes. Because on The Housewives, this word bully, it gets so stretched thin. I don't know. It gets so overdone, overused, and then also overexamined and overanalyzed. And, you know, back in 2008, I don't know, back when Glee premiered, the word bully, I get that it was just coming into the forefront of the social conversation. So that word bully, it was like all over the place and it was inappropriate. These kids are being bullied and we got to stop bullying. And it was a big push. And I get that. And that was a good thing. Because no, we don't want anyone being bullied or anyone being bullies. Okay. Fuck the bullies. We could all agree with that, right? Ladies, am I right? We can all agree with fuck the bullies. But that word now, it's like people are afraid to use that word. And then also, I just feel like they overanalyze it on these shows. And so we end up spending 25 minutes talking about the word bully. And it's like the housewives are getting, they're acting like they're so offended by the word, but I don't think they're actually that offended by the word. Do you get what I mean? It's just a disconnect to me. So again, we don't like bullies. We don't support them. Fuck the bullies. But I just think that the housewives, it's all performative in terms of like using that word. They're upset about that word. And I don't think they're really upset about that word. I think it's just like, oh, I'm supposed to be upset about the word bully. And then on the flip side of the coin, I think people like Dorit use the word bully as like a dropping a bomb. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't even think that's what Dorit meant. And she said, that's not what I meant. She said, Dorit says, an element of the word bully is incessant. And she looked up that word before they started here. And Dorit, I just need you to cool it. I need them all to cool it with this word. I'm talking about across every franchise, you guys, every Housewife franchise, this word bully, we need to, I don't know, maybe retire it in general, because it's just, it's enough is enough. Enough is enough. But as this is going on, it's very clear to me that Andy is Team Garcelle, and we appreciate that. I like that, because I'm Team Garcelle myself. And I don't like the way that Dorit is speaking to Garcelle, and I don't like the way that Rinna hops in and chimes in. Although they ended up making up, I thought, Rinna, what are you doing here? And I don't know who's advising Rinna this season or last season. Because, again, I always liked Rinna on the show. I thought she was very definitely messy and inappropriate at times, but in a fun-to-watch way. And these past couple seasons, I haven't been finding it very fun to watch her. And I don't really feel like anyone has. And it just seems like she, I don't know. I don't get it. And I don't think that there's a lot of time left with Rinna. Because it looks like she's going to be back next season. We know the cast is going to be the same for next season. But the shtick of Rinna, which I've always loved, again, have loved her on the show, it's just feeling like uncomfortable to watch or something. Or I don't know. I don't even know exactly if I can explain how I'm feeling about it. Does that, I'm not making any sense. You guys kind of know what I'm saying though, right? Like, isn't there something off about it lately? And by lately, I mean like the last, like the Denise stuff, I think we can all agree that was like miscalculated. And Rinna herself has said that was miscalculated, whatever. But then this season with all that Garcelle stuff, it just feels weird to me too. And I don't get it. Garcelle did say a really funny sentence though that I want to just repeat. So Garcelle said, when we were at your lip kit launch and Dorit and I had an incident, I thought Rinna would say something, anything. And I just have to point out that that was a ridiculous sentence. Like, like you guys, when she said that, when we were at your lip kit launch and Dorit and I had an incident, like it's just, I can't even imagine saying that word in real life. And Garcelle, she delivered it with all earnest sincerity. In all sincerity, in the words of Ramona Singer. I keep quoting Ramona this episode. Oh, you guys, did you see the Housewives All-Star trailer? It's coming. I have some thoughts about it. The All-Stars Housewives is going to be on Peacock. It's like a vacation with Kyle, Ramona, Cynthia, Kenya, Teresa, Melissa, and Ramona and Luann. And the trailer for it, I think the trailer looked really great. However, I do know, if there's one thing I know, it's how to analyze these shows. And so that's going to be season one. Season two was filmed at Dorinda's house. So if you follow any of the blogs, it was filmed with Dorinda, Vicky, Tamara, Taylor Armstrong, Brandi Glanville, Phaedra Parks, Eva from Atlanta. And then who else am I missing? The most unhinged fucking cast I've ever heard of. Oh, Jill Zarin's on that. So that leads me to believe, okay, just doing process of elimination, using my math skills, using all of my detective skills that I've learned from both Angela Lansbury and Megan King Edmonds, who was just married to Biden. That's a tale for another time. But using all of that I've learned in my mystery detective skills and my math, that leads me to believe that this first season, the one with Kyle and Teresa and Luann and Ramona, that one to me might be a flop. Okay. And I'm hopeful and I think the trailer looked good. Forgive me. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'll own it. I'll own it, baby. But they would have never hired such an unhinged cast for season two unless season one was super boring. Because then season two, it would have been a mix of some more normal, not to say they're not normal, maybe that's not the right adjective, but season two is just so unhinged. I've never seen a more unhinged group of individuals coming together for vacation than I have for the cast list of Real Housewives All-Stars season two or whatever they're going to call it. So there's, by process of elimination, that means that executives saw that first season. They were like, oh, we got to step it up. So let's get the crazies on the line. Let's get the nutballs on. Who, I'm so excited. By the way, I can't wait for that season. Honestly, give me that now injected in my veins. So I will watch and love season one. But season two, you guys, that is going to be a big hot mess. And I can't wait. You guys, when I saw that cast list and they're staying at Dorinda's.
I have the chills. No.
I mean, come on. Process of elimination. That's going to be a big mess. And it's going to be beautiful TV. Beautiful, unhinged television entertainment. But that would have never happened. Never if Housewives Season 1 All-Stars wasn't a little bit boring. I'm sorry, somebody's got to say it. And I said it. I said it. You guys, shall we take a quick break here and come back with more? This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. And we're back. We got to talk about this big accusation. Now, apparently, Rinna said, we don't know that this is true, but Garcelle says she heard somebody text her. She didn't say who, that Rinna said that Garcelle shouldn't bring race into the show. Now, Rinna's like, who told you that? And there's no answers. And it seemed to me a very strange thing to bring up, because not only is it a pretty big accusation that I'm not saying is true or false, I'm just saying it came into the show, into this reunion, and then it just sort of ended. And I wanted answers. I wanted Andy to say, who told you that, Garcelle? And I don't know that he ever said that. And maybe he did ask that and they cut that or something. But it's like, I want to know who told Garcelle that, because there had to have been, and where are the receipts? You know, on housewives, they're supposed to bring receipts. So I need to see the text messages. I need to know more about this. And ultimately, they ended up making up, but I wanted to know. Garcelle said, why is this rattling you? And then they talk about how the Denise situation, because Garcelle was on Watch What Happens Live and said, Denise would like to come back, but without Rinna. And there was this whole thing. And then Rinna reached out to Garcelle and said that she threatened her job and she wants an apology for insinuating that. Because I don't know what to believe. And then Rinna starts to go in and say, like, Garcelle looks unhappy. And then Rinna says that Harry's been watching this season, says Garcelle looks so unhappy. And I didn't feel that way. I didn't think Garcelle seemed unhappy. I thought Garcelle was having a good time. If anything, I actually felt like Garcelle was just engaging in the housewives. Whereas last season, as we all saw in her first season, which a first season housewife, they always are kind of like skating around the drama a little bit, right? Like they don't fully get in the mix their first season. And we give them the grace because it's their first season. They gotta get used to the terrain. So this season, I feel like Garcelle really activated within the world of housewives. And that's what we all wanted. And she did a great job. And she didn't look unhappy. She just looked like she was doing what all the other women are doing on this show. She's shady in her confessional. And yes, there were times that we all had said we wish Garcelle would say that, and the scene like she did in the confessional. But all of the housewives do that. And so all of a sudden they're mad at Garcelle. And it's like, why are you fucking mad at her? Y'all do the same thing. Do you get what I mean? You guys get what I mean. And then also, it was like clear that Rinna, when she said that thing about Harry, like, oh, Harry has been watching and says you're unhappy. I think that was a big bag of bullshit. Like, I don't believe that at all. I think that was like Rinna just wanted to throw that out there, which is fine. You know, that's part of this too. That's part of this gig. But I just don't imagine Harry's at home, like, analyzing Garcelle's performance. Like, he's a podcaster. Like, I just don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't think he's watching, making sauce and watching Housewives, looking at like Garcelle's performance in this program. I just don't believe it. But ultimately, Rinna goes over to Garcelle's couch. They hug it out. That's when Kathy comes out. She's got her notes. And of course, we see this montage of Kathy throughout the years when she's popped in. So we see her talking about Kim's daughter's dates boutonniere. We see that moment, which I love, that moment when she asks Adrian if she does magic. That was good. That was a good moment. And I had forgotten that happened. But I'm so glad they played it, because Adrian Maloof, the Maloof, you know, she said something about magic. And Kathy's like, do you do magic now? And I just love it. And I'm happy that Kathy's in this program. I feel really lucky that we got her. And then they talk about Kyle's new nose. And she said she really broke it on Halloween. But she says, yeah, of course she broke it and wanted to get it fixed and get a prettier, cuter nose, she said. And her nose looked great before, but I always think, like, yeah, go for it. Who cares? Get the nose job if you want, and good for you. I'm happy that she's open and honest about it, but also, who cares? You know how I feel about the plastic surgery stuff on these shows. I always feel like, why are we still talking about it? I mean, and maybe that makes me a hypocrite, because I'm sure on this program at a time or two I've mentioned, I said last week Erica looks very different than she did in the season in the reunion. And so, yeah, maybe that makes me a hypocrite. Sometimes I bring it up. But ultimately, I don't like the plastic surgery conversation. And I hated when we used to do that. And I think maybe they stopped doing it. But I used to hate when it was like at the top of every reunion being like, so what work did you get your boobies done? You know, it'd be like we'd go around the room and just be like, did you get your tits done? And I always hated that. I thought it was just strange. But maybe that's on me. I don't know. Then we get that Halloween ad. Oh, I do have to tell you guys, I was watching with my boyfriend. He thought that Michael Myers, he thought that was Kim Richards. When they were showing Kyle being very scared, Matt was like thinking it was going to be Kim popping out. I loved it, though. I loved that whole thing. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Again, I know it makes me a riddle wrapped in enigma and cash, because it doesn't make any sense. Why do I like the Halloween mid-commercial and I don't like the one with Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway on Maroney? I don't make any sense. Oftentimes I get that. I don't make any sense. And I didn't like that one, but I'm loving this Halloween one. So there you go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I was loving it. So then we cut to Andy asking marriage questions. And he says to Erica Jane, he says, look, I asked you about your book that you released. And I thought it was weird that Tom didn't read it. And then he says, I thought it was weird when you were patting the puss on Broadway in Chicago. Tommy Two Tones didn't visit you on stage or come see you on stage. And he says to her, you were so defensive about that. And they show the clips of her being defensive about that. And he's like, I thought that was fucking weird. And I thought we all thought that was fucking weird too, right? Like that was a weird thing. Like she was on Broadway and then he couldn't even come. Then she says, look, everyone's going to stick up for their significant other. And then Andy asks, she says Erica asked Tommy Two Tones if he's with another woman. She said to him, just divorce me. If you want to be with the other woman, just divorce me. And then he didn't divorce her. He didn't even say anything. And then Andy ends the reunion by saying, well, were you faithful or not? And they just show a close-up of her face, and then they cut it because I was so mad at them. I know why they did it, and they're keeping me on board, but I was mad at them. Oh, sometimes we get so mad at them, don't we? Don't we? Anyway, that was the end of this week. I thought, I want to say, Andy, I feel like the past few years, you guys, I feel like Andy has delivered some of the best reunion performances of all time. I mean, he's just been so good, and we often don't give Andy his props for these reunions because it's almost a thankless job because he comes in there and we're all focused on the women. But I really believe, like, if I think back on some of a handful of the most recent reunions, whether it be like the Summer House reunion or this reunion, I think he's just been doing so good, especially in the time of COVID. And he was so good during the what are those other ones? Those Zoom ones, which were a rough deal. I can only imagine what a nightmare those were. And so I just, you know, what does he do on his show? It's Mazel of the Week. We're going to give Andy the Mazel because he's been doing a great job. And often I feel like people are so mean and critical to Andy, and he's really doing a great job. And I feel like that's a thankless role. And so there we go. There we go. We love an Andy. Okay, next week on the show, Rinna brings him some sauce. And here's Harry's sauce. And this feels a little bit like filler. And I hope we don't decide to put the sauce in the clubhouse. I'm just going to say that now. Then we get a little Erica versus Sutton. And then they talk about the Instagram of all. And then they ask about, like, Kyle knowing what she knew about the situation with Tom and Erica. And then Kyle says, well, Andy, we both knew at the same time, which I think they're revealing the Bethany Frankel of it all, right? Like, I think that's what they were talking about. Because you remember in the press, Bethany Frankel, and by press, I mean her podcast. She went on her podcast and said, like, oh, I told Kyle and Andy all about Erica Jane, or everybody knew about it. And so in the reunion trailer for next week, when they say, oh, well, Andy and I knew it at the same time, you guys, I got the chills.
I have the chills. No.
I got the fucking chills because I know that's bringing Bethany into it now. So, you know, we're really just going, we're bringing everyone in here. Bringing everyone in here. All right, you guys, it's Vanderpump Rules time. I just want to play that sound effect. But you guys, I actually really enjoyed this week's episode. And I'm going to, last week I felt like I was mean and hard on the show. And so I'm going to be nicer this week. That's my goal for this little mini recap of Vanderpump Rules. So I'm not going to try to drag it too much because I felt like I dragged it last week. And this week, I honestly thought there was some really good stuff here. Although I do have some complaints and we'll get to those. First of all, the pickleball of it all. The pickleball of it all, I feel like I can't even talk about pickleball anymore. I've talked about it ad nauseum. It's like the escape room. It's the axe throwing. It's the goat yoga of this world now that we're living in it. And it just feels like pickleball is taking over every one of these Housewives or every one of these Bravo shows. And I'm not happy about it. I also don't appreciate how long they spent on the pickleball. I mean, it felt like a lifetime, didn't it? It felt like we were on this pickleball for a lifetime, that we were just watching it. They were in Palm Springs, and I'm like, this whole tournament, they had the graphics going, and I was just like, it was too much. I thought they should have. And here's my big issue, because the show I thought was really good this week, and especially the Brock Erica Sheena of it all, and her mom is the Erica. That whole thing is so incredibly fascinating. I mean, the tension in that scene between Brock and the mom, you could cut it with a knife. It was so good. And they even showed that in a flashback. And it was like, it happened so quickly that I think, it was my opinion, what do I know about production? Okay, those brilliant people over there, they know what they're doing, right? So, but these are just, I got to come on here on the microphone and give you my notes. These are my notes. I think that stuff was so fucking compelling. The Brock, the Sheena, his ex with the kids, the mom of it all was so fascinating. And it's like, why didn't we focus on that instead of doing 20 minutes with the pickleball tournament that no one gave a shit about? And then that scene with Erica Von Olfen, is that how you say Sheena's mom's name? And Brock was incredible. To me, that was like Shakespearean Tennessee Williams. Like, that was all of it wrapped into one, because the mom is watching the kid and the mom gets paid to watch the kid. Sheena's kid, Summer Moon, gorgeous name, gorgeous baby, but the mom's helping out with them, which is great. But then Brock is like also not really helping out with the mom. It was the mom's birthday, and then Brock's not allowing her to have the time off. She's like, he's like, well, we're paying her, whatever. And so much tension. We know in-laws is always a compelling relationship, compelling dynamic. But this, to me, that should have been the whole episode. And not only that, the whole thing with Brock and the kids, he had these kids when he was 20 and then hasn't spoken to them in 4 years, not even on FaceTime. So we're learning all about this in real time as he's sharing it with Randall and Lala. And we even saw Lala and Randall's faces, pure shock when they were hearing all of this. And I truly believe that we should have played that up and we should have done the close-ups and the reaction shots the way they do on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I believe they're the same production company. You know, if we're learning something about Erica Jane, what they do there is they cut to everyone's reaction shot. They play up the dramatic music. They give us a real moment. And I felt like the Brock, Sheena, Erica Van Olfen or whatever, I feel like that all deserved that type of treatment. I thought it should have been played up. The dramatics of it should have been played up because this is the buzz that we've been looking for. I've been saying on the show for weeks now, this show has no buzz. Nobody's talking about it. We need to get some buzz going. And this is where the buzz is. It's all on Brock. It's on Erica Van Olfen. It's on Sheena. That's where it is. So we need to focus on this dynamic. And I beg the producers, whoever's editing these episodes, let's put the spotlight on these three or whatever, and let's really good. Because when I saw Lala and Randall give those looks, I was like, why aren't they doing close-ups on each of them? Why aren't we having the big dramatic music with the bum-bums? You know, why aren't we getting that kind of stuff in the background? Because that's so fascinating to me. And then the thing that really killed me was when it was revealed. You guys, this is shocking to me. This should have been a whole 45 minutes of this episode. Instead of the 20 minutes they did pickleball, the whole episode could have been this big reveal, leading up to this big reveal that Brock had the kids. One of the kids is named Winter, and it was she was born on the same day as Sheena and Brock's new child, and they named her Summer. You guys, they named her Summer.
I have the chills.
Summer and Winter, you guys. Come on. That is television gold. It's Shakespearean, okay? And I do believe Sheena had said she always wanted the name Summer, and then those shady Bravo editors, they flash back to that time where Sheena was like, oh, I'm going to name it Madison Marie Parks Valletta. I do believe, though, this is a little inside tip, you guys. Sheena had reached out to me because I was on the OC podcast, and Rachel Bilson was on this show, Everything Iconic, who played Summer on the OC. And Sheena had reached out to me around that time that happened. She's like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with Summer. Rachel Bilson, she said she always loved her and everything. So I do actually believe Sheena when she said that, oh, there was always this tie to Summer from the OC. I believe Sheena when she said that. However, it is still pretty crazy that Brock's got one daughter named Winter and now one named Summer. They were born on the same days. And that's going to fuck with your head as a kid. I mean, that stuff, you guys, the chills. I got the fucking chills. I couldn't even believe it. And then it was like we just breezed past it to get to the pickleball or whatever, whatever we were doing next. And I'm like, you guys, this is craziness. This should be, we should all be talking about this for weeks on end. Because, and honestly, Brock is a main cast member this season. And I was talking to my friend Janet, and we were saying, how often is it where somebody comes in, a significant other of one of these people, and they're in the main credits? So Brock obviously has a lot of story to tell within this group and within the larger narrative. And it's all very compelling television. And I think we thought we lost all the craziness when we lost Jax and the other ones. And I think that Brock is bringing a lot to this show, but I'm not sure that everyone knows what to do with it. And so I'm just here politely requesting that these producers, editors, whoever's doing it, maybe we focus on this. And I want to see more of the mom. I want to see Sheena's mom. What's the story there? Everyone's got a story. What's Erica Van Olfen's story? Because there's some compelling stuff. And they just breezed on past it. Erica was shown in a flashback only. And the tension in that scene when they were talking to Lala and Randall and Brock was holding the baby with those fat ass hands that he's got, those gorgeous fat hands, which I, again, I'm on the edge of my seat watching him hold that baby, but also wanting him to crush my own head because that man is so gorgeous, you know, metaphorically, of course. But that man, I'm like simultaneously very attracted to him in this really weird way. And then, you know, he's got those big thighs that you just want him to crush you. Excuse my language, but yeah. And then he's just giving this whole monologue about what's going on with the kids that he had when he's 20 and hasn't talked to him and they're all shocked. And we breezed right past it. But there was so much tension in that scene. You could feel it in the air. And I don't get it. I don't really understand it. What else happened in this episode? Oh, I do want to mention Charlie and the mannequin. Really loving Charlie and really loving the mannequin. Okay. Loving them both. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I think they're both great additions to this program. And I just want to give Charlie some props because I love Charlie. Love her. More Charlie, too. Could use more of her. And then Raquel, little angel baby, bambi-eyed Raquel. That little bambi-eyed bitch we love. I love me some Raquel. And this week I felt so, she was giving her, talking about her anxiety and everything going on. And I just felt so bad for Raquel. And I wanted her to just, I wanted to shout through the screen, like, you don't need to be like Lala. You're Raquel. You're queen and icon and a legend, Raquel. And you need to treat yourself as such. And you need to make sure everyone around you treats you that way, including James, who now is going to be your husband. And DJ James Kennedy, he was really nice to her in that moment when he sat down with her and he said to her, like, I don't want you to be like other people. I like who you are. And let me be the crazy one, he said. And that in that moment, I really felt like their connection. I thought, oh, yeah, they balance each other out in a way. And so I like that about them. But I need James to never treat her poorly again, because we've seen it one too many times on this show. And it will be unacceptable, James. I don't know that you're listening to this podcast. I'm sure you're not. But all of us Everything Iconic listeners, we will not be happy if you treat our dear Raquel poorly in any way in the future. Okay? Enough. Enough. But I was happy for them. They got engaged and they all did that Rachella, which I didn't really understand. Why didn't they have more people at the Rachella? I felt like it was an engagement. I actually really thought LVP was going to pop in, you know, because she pops in when at random all the time on the show. You know, every time I don't think we're going to get an LVP scene, all of a sudden there she makes someone go to their house and then we got to have a 10-minute LVP scene. You know, so I was expecting her to pop in that Rachella, but she didn't. But I thought there should have been some more people there. It was like a lot of hoopla, and I know it was engagement, beautiful event, but I just wish we could have gotten some extras in there, some friends or something. I know it's COVID, you guys, but it was also outside. I don't know. I thought that. What else was going on? Oh, did you see that moment, you guys? They're really leaning into Tom Schwartz being awful to his wife, Katie, you guys. And I, you know how I feel about Katie Maloney. I'm on Katie Maloney's side. And there's so many moments where Tom is mean to his wife. And I'm like, he said that she had the Karen haircut. Now, does she have a little bit of a Karen haircut? Sure. Okay. Who among us during the pandemic, we all had weird haircuts, right? I was cutting my own hair in the pandemic. Okay. So we're not going to fault. We're going to give her some grace there. But the fact that he said that on television, just said, yeah, you got a Karen haircut. You guys, it was so fucking mean. And I feel like he is just kind of mean to his wife a lot on the show, and we need him to step it up and be nice to Katie, his wife. If you love your wife, Tom, I know we all look at him like the adorable scamp that he is. Okay, he gets away with murder, that young man. And everyone places the blame on Katie Maloney for everything that goes on with that man. And now she's butting into the business with Tom and the other Tom. And everyone blames Katie for everything, and then that guy gets away with everything. And I get it. He's an adorable-looking man. Okay, he's bamboozled us all. However, we need to look through those cute puppy dog eyes, and we need to realize that he's playing us, because he's gotten away with it for too long, and I like Tom Schwartz, okay? But he's gotten away with it for too long, and he called his wife a Karen on TV, and her face, it was a really funny moment. I did laugh a lot, but, you know, I just want to say justice for Katie Maloney, because everyone online, you know, I look at the comments, people write me, and they all yell at Katie about everything, and I'm thinking, why doesn't anyone ever get mad at the husband? Let's talk about the husband, in the words of Kim Richards, because he's the one that puts it all on her. So I just like to be some balance, you know, some justice in this world. That's all I'm looking for. So then, yeah, we have that big engagement. It's a cute moment. I think we're getting out of Palm Springs next week. We're going to be back in West Hollywood. I still think the show needs some buzz. But I thought we had some really good, compelling stuff in this episode. And again, even that Tom Schwartz, Katie Maloney stuff, I want to dive into that relationship. Because I think there's some really juicy stuff and some good tension there. Obviously, we're seeing it play out with Tom Sandoval. And the bar, which is now confirmed, it's going to be called Schwartz and Sandy's, which I saw some people online saying it should be called Tom Foolery. And to me, that is like a great name. I think Tom Foolery, that would have been a great bar name, in my opinion. But they're going with Schwartz and Sandy. They also got a new whiskey coming out. I'm going to try it. I'm excited to try it, you guys. The ad campaign, I don't know if you follow the Toms online, but the ad campaign, those photos, I was like, I love those photos. It was like a 70s vibe. I really loved it. So I'm going to try the whiskey. I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but I'm going to try it. We might have to do some taste testing, some research here for Everything Iconic. Maybe one of the Toms. You know, I've been trying to get one of the Toms to send me a moo-moo. Tom Schwartz. I know I just talked poorly about him for about 10 minutes, but I would like him to send me a moo-moo. despite the fact that I think on this show he's been an awful husband to his wife, I wouldn't mind a free moo-moo. Because, you know, as much as I hate the way those look, they look cozy. They look comfy. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily interested in purchasing one, but I would like to wear one or at least try it. So, you know, that's my truth. And I know it's not appropriate, but it's my truth. So, you guys, one of the things I mentioned on the show is Erica Von Ulfen, the mom of Sheena. And one of my favorite things about Vanderpump Rules is when they bring the moms on. You know how much I love my dear Terry Maloney, Katie's mom? I need the moms to pop in. I do. I know we lost some of the moms. Of course, we're not going to have the Dana and Kristen's mom and all those moms popping in. Although, maybe, I mean, is it wrong that I still would like that? You know, I know we got rid of Stassi and Kristen. I'm not saying we bring them back. I'm just saying, like, maybe we have an appearance from Dana. You know, that might be a good compromise because I like when the moms pop in. I think they're a fun little thing. And so my hope is that we get a scene with at least the moms who are still on the show, of the kids who are still on the show. So I'm going to need Erica Von Ulfen to appear more alongside Terry Maloney. I'm not sure if those two know each other, but I'd like them to. And I'd like the moms to pop in because while I don't love seeing the new moms on these shows, you know, I don't love seeing the women on these shows having babies. I do love when the older moms show up because I love an older mom. Not that they're old, but you know, an older mom. And so I hope they pop in, you guys. I really do. I really do. Anything else for the show we got to talk about? Oh, they had those fireworks. That was pretty. I think they were playing into the Tom Sandoval when he was saying he was buying all that stuff. I don't think he actually paid for it. I would imagine production did, right? Am I crazy for thinking that? Maybe I'm wrong. But I think they were trying to make it seem like he paid the check. But I think they must have reimbursed him, right? It's like he probably had to submit his receipts to Bravo or Evolution and then it gets reimbursed. I don't know.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Anything else we got to talk about? That's the show, you guys. Real everything iconic. I want to mention. I have an interview with. Should I say it? Should I surprise you guys? I'll say it. We have Meredith Marks from the Real Houses of Salt Lake City coming up on the show on Sunday, on Everything Iconic. So please tune in. And again, I want to encourage you all to listen to my interview with Kyle Richards, The Splits, and Lisa Ling is also in that episode. And you guys know I love The View. And honestly, the Lisa Ling interview is one of my favorites. I love her so much. She's so intelligent. So brilliant, and she's got a great documentary series. So I hope you guys also listen to that. I think both interviews that last week were really good, and we got some good ones coming up. Meredith Marks, Sunday, you guys. I ask about all the tipping off of the feds. I ask it all. So tune in. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back Sunday night also with recaps of Salt Lake City and Potomac. Oh, Nicki Minaj doing a Potomac reunion. We'll talk all about that too. If you want to support this podcast, go to the Patreon page. Also pre-order my book, How Do I Unremember This? Available at your local bookstore as well as Barnes & Noble, Amazon. And I put a link in the episode description if you want to pre-order it. Pre-orders are super important, so I thank you all who have done it. Ebook and audiobook information coming very soon. So I will share that when I have it. And yeah, that's all. We should do our cheesy little cool down now and take a deep breath in and hold it. Breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in, hold it. Breathe out. Now, I just want to encourage everyone, think about something that you're grateful for today. We're moving into holiday season. We got Thanksgiving coming up. So just take a moment today before Thanksgiving to think about something you're grateful for. I love you all so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.